The church is a body. May this body breathe and be together in the spirit of hope. It is as strong as all the men and women who have ever gathered within its walls. It is the power of all they dreamed and all that they have done. The church is a story. It is the story of lives that are interwoven, brought together in this place and this time for the simple purpose of caring for one another. The church is a vision. It is a vision of unity amid diversity. It is a vision of reverence for all of creation. It is a vision that beckons us beyond the concerns of our own skins. In the silence, may we abide as one body in the spirit of faith, hope, and love that is the story and the vision of this church. The handwriting on the wall, revisited. I wonder if you have ever experienced this. You attend a conference or a retreat or even a worship service, and everyone seems to know everyone else. The conversation includes stories about people who may not even be there, but everyone knows them too. And you're new in the group, and you don't know the persons, you don't really know anyone. Has that ever happened to you? Well, I certainly can relate. I'm a perpetual newcomer in the congregations I serve, and I'm always trying to find out and make sense of what I'm hearing about the people and who did what, when, and why. So this is by way of an apology to those of you who are very new with us. Maybe you're even here for the first time. It is my hope that in hearing briefly today about the history and hopes of this congregation, you will be intrigued enough to want to know more about the First Unitarian Universalist Church of Austin and what it means to liberal religion in this part of Central Texas. And I hope you will come back and be part of its future. You'll remember that about a month ago, members of the interim transition team provided the homilies for the worship service. Each one of them spoke eloquently about the passions that they hold here at First UU and how those passions were supported by other congregants. They knew that you shared the passions because of your entries on the church's timeline. Now the transition team and I are guiding you through another area of self-examination, and that is the creation of a congregational covenant or set of promises for healthy relations that the members make to one another. I'll have more to say about how you can make your contributions to the covenant, but for now, I want to look again at the timeline and some themes that occur to me. I am indebted to members of the transition team for their insights into these themes, too. Now, as a metaphor for to take us into an exploration and examination of historical themes as expressed by you during November on the timeline, let's think of what a quilter does as she surveys the various scraps and pieces of fabric that she wants to use in her finished quilt. How to make sense of the disparate pieces? What design does she want to use? Is there a motif that suggests itself by virtue of shape, size, color, texture, or an abundance of those pieces? What is the pattern? Can she use a published pattern, or should she make one up? And as you see, this is a pattern, but it's not exactly all alike because many of those squares are signed with the names of congregants in a church I served not too long ago. So Nancy had a pattern in mind, but then the people made it theirs and eventually mine. What I know of your history is only what you have told me with your pieces of fabric. In words, face to face, or over the phone, the memories that you posted on the windows in the foyer, which I like to call the wall of living history? What bits of history that are written about yourselves on your website? I can only work with what you have put in my fabric basket, since I was not here for your history. Of course, there are many interpretations of that history, and I believe that that is good and healthy. It gives us even more to discuss with one another and understand about one another. You'll remember that during the month of November, I invited you to post your memories. What I wanted to know is what events that took place here made you feel proud of your church? Which memories made you feel disappointed in your church? And what your hopes and dreams are for First UU? Let's consider those color-coded post-it notes as the pieces of our quilt that I'm surveying in order to see patterns or themes. Maybe a design will suggest itself. Now, one of the many squares that you have stitched into your quilt is the word cooperation. It is the quality of working together to accomplish some goal that has characterized this congregation from its very earliest days. How can we not see cooperation when we look at the timeline? Everywhere there are notes of events planned and carried out, projects undertaken, often by many persons under difficult circumstances and over an extended time. Now, it's clear to me as I surveyed the timeline that you like to cooperate about building. You like to build. This structure that we make great use of every day, and also the natural area where it is located. You rejoice in your grounds and their enhancement through the years, thanks to willing volunteers and some highly enlightened leadership. This building is also a result of architectural evolution. That's my sense of it. From its very basic structure in the 1950s, where the offices continue to be and where we, many of us live and have our being, the addition of the religious education wing, religious education wing in 1967, and this new sanctuary, which was dedicated in 1988. It took a great deal of fundraising, a great deal of effort to pay for these additions, and now you put them to many uses, not only for yourselves, but also for the greater community of Austin. Everything I read about the building and its additions, once they were constructed, looked positive on the timeline. As well as cooperating on the grounds and the building, you also cooperate in building links in the Austin community. And in this, too, you take great pride. On the timeline, many of you mentioned the social service that you do with, for example, People's Community Clinic, the Caregivers of Northwest Austin, the sheltering of homeless persons that you do on freeze nights through Austin Resource Center for the Homeless, participating in Crop Walk and the NAMI Walk, that's the National Association for Mental Health, that you work with Hands on Housing, and many, many other projects in which you participate as individuals and groups. Now, have I failed to mention your favorite cause? I'm sure I have. But in my mentioning a few of the undertakings of this congregation since the 1950s, you see that cooperation with one another has been characteristic of First UU. When you are in cooperative mode, you are at your best, and it is something to be proud of. The stitches that hold these squares of fabric are strong and straight. The quilt is warm and beautiful because of them. Your work in cooperation with one another connects you in a pattern that endures and thrives. But as you know, if you looked even briefly at the color-coded post-it notes on the timeline, that you know that there were events that took place here that made you feel disappointed in your church. The great majority of these disappointments took place, at least they were indicated, in the years 2000 to 2009. And of these, the theme of the former minister was prevalent. Some of you were disappointed in the congregation's dismissal of him, and some were disappointed that such a step seemed necessary. Some regretted the events that led up to the dismissal, and some regretted the process that was followed. Actually, this is not a new theme for you. Disappointment at ministers and others and other staff departures is a theme that is present throughout the congregation's history. And a sub-theme that accompanies those departures, and I'll quote from one of the notes. The sub-theme is, quote, "And we didn't know why they left," end quote. Many of you are recovering from the wrenching situation around the former minister, and some of you are taking more time than others. Some who left the church have little chance of recovery because they are absent from the community that can nurture them. And for some, there may never be a return to restorative community here. This situation reminds me of a short poem by Gunilla Norris from a book titled Being Home. And I have edited it a bit so that it fits for us. The poem title is Mending. Holes in the fabric, tears and unravelings. What can be mended? What is rent for good? I try to make decisions about this. One garment cannot be fixed. Into the rag bag it goes. But another can be stitched together again. As I sort and mend, I think of the larger fabric, the fabric of life. I think about relationships that tear apart. No amount of stitching will help. No button can hold them together. Sometimes what is torn needs to lie there, frayed edges exposed, the gaping hole honored. May I learn to be humble when the patching goes wrong, when I join parts that don't belong, when the button still does not meet the hole. May I realize when my busy needle will do no good. Beyond knowing, what is torn apart breathes in its own way, mends if it can, when it can. Let me accept the frayed. Acceptance is a theme that many of you are still exploring to see if it fits for you. As a member of the transition team wrote, quote, "Our history as a community is a part of us. The lessons we draw from our past also influence our future. We are in a period of transition in which we have the opportunity to honestly and openly reflect upon our history and culture, and with self-awareness and learning, move into the future." The timeline has been an exercise in coming to terms with story. Through this and other ways, we want to share our stories. Hold them respectfully. Acknowledge hurts and disappointments and celebrate our strengths. End quote. And now I leave off being an objective observer. It is a deeply held conviction with me that I share in season and out. The church's mission is to transform lives. When disappointment prevails and many persons walk out, absent themselves from this community, then the church's mission fails. You must not fail at First Unitarian Universalist. Too much is at stake. Too many lives are depending upon this congregation, especially our youngsters' lives, now and in the future. This is not intended as a contradiction of the poem. The poem accepts that when something cannot be mended, it be left to breathe on its own. This is simply an affirmation that community heals us. There will always be risk here if we are to be an authentic community of faith, and it is important to acknowledge that. Part of the UU mission is to combat the consumer culture that says that the church is here to meet the needs of those who choose to attend. So simply walking is very different from walking the talk. Community heals us. What does it take for this community to heal, to avoid those destructive actions such as you experienced before, during, and after your last minister left? I believe that a congregational statement of promise, promise on how persons here relate to one another, treat one another, and behave, if you will accept that laden word, those promises can and will prevent further destruction of relationships and trust. This commitment, these promises, are expressed in a congregational covenant. I believe that by creating and then living by such a congregational covenant of healthy relations, community can continue to heal people here. Now, this is not intended to be an easy answer, because there is no easy answer. But the transition team and I are committed to guiding you through this process. They have already held a number of face-to-face small gatherings in which congregants were asked to write down promises. Three promises that each person makes to other members of the congregation, and then three promises that each person would like other members of the congregation to make to him or her. These promises will be used in the creation of a draft of the congregational covenant. The small gatherings are over for now, but the team has a table in the gallery this Sunday and next, at which they are soliciting your participation in this creation of covenant. They and I invite you to take three yellow cards and write a promise on each one of them. Write a promise to the congregation from you. And then take three blue cards and write on them, on one on each card, promises that you would like other members of the congregation to make to you. You may leave the cards unsigned and then drop them in the basket at the table. A draft will be available for you in March, if all goes well, and the final draft will be presented at the May semi-annual meeting. At least that is the plan. So, we have a quilt that you have created with the pieces at hand. Some parts of it are still a little ragged at the edges. Some don't quite fit. And some spots need to be reconfigured. Isn't that just like life? With your participation in the covenant creation, some of the ragged edges can be mended, some things can be made to fit a little better, and some spots will be shining where they used to be a little drab. As for me, I am so pleased to be with you during this period of interim ministry. If you like, I can help you as you find areas where some clever stitching can bind up the broken and frayed seams. Then more of those strong strands will characterize your quilt, the strands that held the congregation together over the years during difficult times and your more relaxed times. Please call on us. Let me know how we can help. So may it be.
And now may the blessings of life be upon us and upon this congregation. May the memories we gather here give us hope for the future. May the love that we share bring strength and joy to our hearts, and the peace of this community be with us until we meet again.